to Afterword, a sermon recap of our time together in 2 Peter 1, 1 through 4. This is Peter. I want to thank you for all the emails you sent yesterday, full of encouraging stories of God's work in your lives and great questions that arose from the message on Sunday. My heart was greatly encouraged. Thank you. Let me begin with reading the introduction and the verses we spent most of our time on, verses 1 through 4 of 2 Peter, chapter 1. Simeon, Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained an equal standing with ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, may grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. Now, that is a mouthful, especially verses 3 and 4. Lots of clauses, lots of prepositional phrases, but really comes down to one big truth. He has given us everything we need for life and godliness. So, questions that came from yesterday, from on Sunday, how do I get help with believing the promises? Promises that he really has given us everything we need for life and godliness. And others asked, like, which promises are we to lock in on? And another group of questions surrounded what do I do with the promises? And there were many versions of this, like, I know he's making me godly, but what is my part? How do I know if I'm doing enough? And where do I start? So let me share with you one example of the where do I start question. How do we, in a practical way, start? I'm sure that it is different for everyone, but what practical advice would you give someone who is feeling lonely, apart from God, and understands that God is and can be his everything, but that seems too big at the moment? You just need a place to start. What a great question. So let's start here. What is a practical place to start? And I would encourage you, individually or as a life group, to read 2 Peter 1, 3 and 4 several times and try to find a command or a call to action, something to do. And you will notice there are none. God is telling us what he has done. And there's an expression that I used a lot years ago called funneling. It's when we are in a conversation with someone and we funnel the conversation back to make it about us. And I think many times I do that with God's word. He is in the middle, in verses 3 and 4, of describing what he has done. And I can't even listen because I'm trying to figure out, okay. I know you're saying this, but what do I do? And I believe what the Spirit is saying to us is, can you savor? Can you relish? Can you enjoy for a moment my extravagant power and provision? Will you let your imagination run wild for a moment? The possibility that your spiritual bank account is full of hundreds of thousands of dollars of righteousness through Jesus, that you have heavenly credit cards with that are unlimited. Your pantry is loaded with all the food you will need. Your refrigerator is packed with delicious spiritual nourishment. Your suitcases are bulging. Your garage has multiple four-wheel drive vehicles to get you where you need to go. Spiritual Land Rovers. Your Father is not oblivious to your needs. He provides everything you need for life and godliness. And if you're wired like me, you still feel frustrated. Okay, but what do I need to do? And here it is. Will you believe when God says, I've given you everything? Now, why is this so important that we start here? Well, if we won't start there, we will be unprepared to hear and embrace what he's about to say to us. We've in a sense cut him off. I know, God, you're saying this, but what I feel is way more important than what you're saying. And we will end up turning to the arm of flesh and become either deluded or discouraged. We will, on a practical level, be saying to God, okay, I know you've done this, but I'll take it from here. And we will be ignoring the fact that God says, I am the one who works in you both to will and to work for my good pleasure. I have given you everything. Some of you may be asking, as some did, how do I then grow in my faith in his promises? When the disciples asked Jesus that question, similar question, you know, to increase their faith in Luke 17, he referred them to a mustard seed, a tiny, tiny seed. His point was, your faith grows when you turn your attention away from the size of your faith and onto the object of your faith. I can do anything, everything. And because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, the best place for us to begin is soaking in, memorizing verses 3 and 4, and to ask God to make it yours. Some of you may want to spend time giving thanks by faith for the parts of the promise in verses 3 and 4 that you might not even understand yet. You certainly don't know what to do with yet. But that will set you up to come this Sunday and receive what he has for you. Thank you for joining us for Afterward.